An Anchorage judge says Alaska same-sex couples are entitled to the same senior citizen and disabled veteran property tax exemptions as married couples. Superior Court Judge Frank Pfeiffner ruled in a 34-page decision that the state's marital classification violates the Alaska Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. ACLU of Alaska and the National American Civil Liberties Union challenged assessment rules on behalf of three Alaska couples denied a full $150,000 property tax exemption. ACLU of Alaska says in a statement yesterday that the couples were in committed relationships but were treated as roommates rather than families. Alaska voters approved an amendment to the state constitution in 1998 that defines marriage as a union between one man and one woman. A spokeswoman for the governor's office says the state is reviewing the ruling. Juneau will file a petition with the local boundary commission to annex lands proposed for a Petersburg borough. The assembly voted last night to challenge Petersburg's plan to incorporate an area previously identified for annexation to the city and borough of Juneau. It includes all the territory from the southern CBJ boundary and east to the Canadian border, the Tracy Arm, Ford's Terror Wilderness, and Endicott Arm, as well as Holcomb, Windham, and Hobart Bays. 30,000 acres at Hobart Bay are owned by Goldbelt, Juneau's native corporation. Juneau previously did not file to annex the area in deference to Goldbelt, which had said it preferred not to be in any borough. The corporation says it's currently neutral on the Petersburg petition. The Goldbelt Board of Directors is to decide its borough preference over the next couple of months. There was no discussion last night on the Assembly's resolution to file the annexation petition. It calls for all or a portion of the lands on the mainland south of Juneau's southern boundary that were recommended years ago as a model borough. October 26 is the deadline for filing competing petitions and opposing briefs with the local boundary commission. The city and borough of Juneau will remain part of the Tongass Futures Roundtable. The resolution to repeal CBJ's support for the group failed on a tie vote at last night's assembly meeting. Mayor Bruce Patillo recused himself from the discussion and the vote. He currently serves as facilitator of the group. Earlier this year, timber representatives pulled out of the roundtable. The Southeast Conference and several other communities, as well as the state of Alaska, also quit, citing the group's inability to increase logging in Southeast Alaska. Assemblymember Merrill Sanford proposed that Juneau do the same. He says roundtable members have done little to address timber supply.
There should be enough in the Tongass National Forest to supply two or three or four mills, sawmills, in Southeast Alaska. And we have done nothing but hurt the economy of our small towns, Wrangell, Ketchikan, and other towns, by not having an integrated resource available for them. And this group is not working on that, and they said that that was one of their primary goals.
The Tongass Futures Roundtable started 5 years ago in an attempt to find consensus among stakeholders of the nation's largest national forest, to include the Forest Service, conservation groups, the timber industry, and Native organizations, including Native Regional Corporation Sea Alaska. CEO Rick Harris told the assembly the roundtable has been effective in improving communication among users and residents of the National Forest. And while there has been less progress on timber, he says beyond that to other Tongass resources.
Kind of the moniker was timber and beyond. So that's where we've really focused on. We can understand people's frustration if we have not found a solution to timber. But that's been a 30, 40-year fight as it is. And for this group to be able to try to come to a complete conclusion and consensus has been difficult. But we have made substantial progress.
The Parnell administration has formed a state timber jobs task force, which represents one side of the policy debate over Tongass issues. It has no representatives from the conservation community. Juneau lawmakers are looking for members to serve on a new Taku River Task Force. The river is the most abundant salmon producer in Southeast. It's also one of the most studied in terms of biology, but with the renewal of mining at the headwaters, other questions remain.
We're just trying to find out exactly who controls the Taku River.
Juneau Senator Dennis Egan says it's not even clear what agency is responsible for monitoring industrial vessel traffic on the river. Is it State Fish and Game, Natural Resources, or the Department of Environmental Conservation, or maybe the Coast Guard? The task force will also look at the effectiveness of state and federal laws and regulations regarding the river, as well as the review of the health of Taku River fish stocks, habitat, and game resources. A proposal to create a legislative task force to study the issues went nowhere during the last legislative session, but the meetings between sport and commercial fishermen and Taku River property owners proved to be contentious. And Representative Beth Curtula says it was clear that everyone needed the same information.
It's just obvious that we were not all operating with the same information, and that some of it was good, some of it we weren't sure about, and we needed to be sure about it. So our common sense way to go forward was to find out the facts and get them out there for everybody.
Well, the catalyst for the task force is the redevelopment of the Tulsaqua Chief Mine at the headwaters of the Taku River. Longtime Juneau Gill netter Jeff Shelton says it's the extraordinary salmon production of the river that drives the concerns.
With or without the Tulsaqua Chief Mine, really does deserve an added measure of protection to be sure that that productivity isn't compromised.
Canadian company Chieftain Metals hopes to start production of the multi-metal mine in 2014. The main access to the mine is up the Taku River. Shelton is among the advocates for the task force, and he believes it could result in real protections of the river.
This was intended to be a forum for trying to put together hopefully a piece of legislation that could get through and provide a more institutionalized protection for the river, to which Chieftain or anybody else would have to respond appropriately.
Egan says it's important to make sure that any activities on the river do not hurt the fishing industry and other river users.
I'm not opposed to mining. I just want to make sure that they do it right. And, you know, we set guidelines on our side of the border.
The 8-member committee will represent Alaska Natives with ties to the Taku River, commercial and private recreational property owners in the Taku River Valley, commercial and sport fishing, and a biologist who does not work for government. State resource departments will provide expertise to the group.
It's up to the task force to make recommendations, not bureaucrats. We tried to keep government out of it, but using government as the resource to these 8 members of the committee.
People interested in serving on the Taku River fact-finding task force should contact Curtula, Egan, or Representative Kathy Munoz. Meetings will start early next month. A final report will be submitted to the delegation by the middle of December. New officers named for Coeur d'Alene Mines Corporation, the parent company of the subsidiary that runs the Kensington Mine northwest of Juneau. Frank Hannegame Jr. will become the new chief financial officer and senior vice president next month. He recently was chief operating officer of Swiss miner Valcambi and director of corporate development for Newmont Mining. K. Leon Harding, who started work at Coeur d'Alene Mines 8 years ago and was most recently senior vice president of operations, will become chief operating officer and senior vice president. And it was just in July that former chief financial officer and VP Mitchell Krebs was promoted to president and chief executive officer as Dennis Wheeler retired. It was expected then that Krebs would continue with his duties as CFO. Crude oil prices are down. Brent is at $110.96 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate for November is at $86.16 a barrel this morning. Gold back up over the $1,800 mark this morning, and silver up over a quarter, currently at $39.91 an ounce. Alaska's Marine Highway System wants a court to order the Fast Ferry Builder to provide new engines to the ships. State officials say engines on the Fairweather and Chinigo are wearing out faster than their warranties promised. Replacing the 8 engines could cost in the range of $20 million. The state filed a lawsuit last year but continued talking to the manufacturer about a solution. Captain Mike Newsell says the state is now asking the court for a preliminary injunction to force action before the engines wear out.
If that happens, those vessels could be out of service before there's an ultimate resolution, which would mean the state would lose use, and the state residents and communities would lose use of those vessels prior to the ultimate decision on that lawsuit.
The engines have already undergone repairs, but those repairs are not permanent.